Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Michael Tolercio, the pastoral intern of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and it's great that you're joining us today as we look at Acts chapter 10, because it's a big moment in the book of Acts. It's a turning point. We've had a few turning points lately. We had one if you were with us for our look at 1 Kings chapter 12, where God's people of Israel were divided into two kingdoms, and there became the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south. And now we have another big turning point in the New Testament in chapter 10 of the book of Acts, where the gospel has begun to go forth not just to Jerusalem, not just in Judea and Samaria, but now it's beginning to go forth to the ends of the earth. And it starts with chapter 10 in Acts. It's a big moment. So let's ask for the Lord's help to understand what we're reading of, just as Peter, as we'll read of today, needed the Lord's help to understand the vision that he gave him in today's passage. So let's ask for help. Father, you're the same God that helped Peter to understand what you wanted him to from the vision that you gave him that we'll be reading of today in Acts 10. We pray as we look at this passage that you would help us to understand the message that you gave to Peter, to understand its significance even more so, Lord, that you would help us to apply what these words mean that we read of today to our lives. Would your Holy Spirit do the work? We need him. He's the agent that brings the gospel home to us, Lord. He's the one who makes us part of your people evermore, and we thank you for him. But he only does this by your command, by the command of your Son, as he points us to the work that your Son has already accomplished on our behalf. So we pray that Jesus would get glory today, as we pray the Holy Spirit would, as we pray that you would, O Father. We thank you for this reality for your people, and we pray we would live according to it well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, beginning in verse 1 of Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now, send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, an upright and God-fearing man who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I ask then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. That ends the reading of God's word for this chapter of Scripture. And this chapter, as we said, is important because the book of Acts is structured such that the gospel is going forth from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's the structure of the book of Acts, beginning with chapter 1 and stated as such in verse 8 of chapter 1. And now, at this point in this book, the gospel has gone forth in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Israel, Samaria, and now it's beginning to go beyond that those boundaries. And it does so as we begin chapter 10 with a vision. It begins with a vision, actually multiple visions, because this moment is so significant in the history of God's people that it requires visions. It requires multiple visions. It starts with a vision to this man named Cornelius. And Cornelius is an upright and God-fearing man, even though he doesn't quite know who the God of the Jews exactly is. He is a man who is reverent and who is kind to people. He gives alms. He prays regularly. He's a generous man, and he's a man who prays. And we see in this that already, right up front in the chapter, God is a gracious God to enable people to seek for, to search for him. We'll hear that language later in Acts chapter 17, where Paul speaks to Gentiles, and he says that it's apparent to him that people from every tribe and every nation have the opportunity to seek for him, to seek for God. And here God is finding a man who he has enabled to seek for him. He is enabling that man to find him, that is, Cornelius, and Cornelius's household. And he gives him this vision about somebody named Peter, through this angel, that Peter would come and declare to him something. And so he sends these men, they go, they call forth the apostle Peter, but before they do, God has given Peter a vision. In fact, he's given him a vision that repeats itself three times. And the component of that vision is that there is this sheet that comes down and covers the four corners of the earth. And the four corners there is language that represents, that refers to all of humanity. And so this vision that Peter has is one that will affect, that will have an impact, that will regard, that will concern all of humanity. But the vision involves animals. And animals that the people of Israel would have considered unclean, according to God's laws to Israel, the Old Testament cleanness laws. Now, certain animals were unclean, and if the people of Israel came into contact with them or ate them, they themselves would become unclean. It meant that they couldn't worship God rightly as God wanted them to worship him. They couldn't go into the temple for a certain period of time. They couldn't be in the community in a certain way, depending on what the cleanness laws were. Now, with regard to these animals, it was clear to Peter that these animals, according to the Old Testament laws, were themselves unclean. Certain beasts, reptiles, certain birds. So Peter enters the house of Cornelius and finds that Cornelius had received a vision himself. So there are multiple confirmations for Peter in these visions that what he has begun to understand, or to hear at least from the Lord at that moment, had come from the Lord and was more significant than just animals. It meant more than just about something about eating animals being clean or unclean. And he comes to understand that it has to do with people. And it's as he comes into the house of Cornelius and brings, actually, it's important that he brings these others with him from Joppa, these other Jews, those who had, as verse 45 says, believers from among the circumcised, meaning believing Christian Jewish persons. Peter puts two and two together, and he understands that God is calling people from every tribe, nation, tongue, and language, every background to himself. Cornelius is a good guy, generally speaking, but he's missing something. He's missing forgiveness of sins. And that's what he gets as he hears this gospel message, as Peter comes in and he proclaims the gospel to Cornelius. Cornelius and those with him who hear and believe are able to receive forgiveness for their sins. They're able to understand that it is Jesus who is really the one that God has sent to save people. That we don't merely pray to God in a general way. We pray to the God who has sent to us his Son, Jesus. And as Cornelius and as those who hear the word, verse 44, as they believe, the Spirit falls on them. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who Peter spoke of in verse 38, that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That same Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, falls on these men. And as those believing Jews who are with Peter are, to their astonishment, they find that the Holy Spirit, as he's poured out on these Gentiles, Cornelius and those in his household, they themselves are now speaking in tongues and extolling God. That was a mark in the early church, a sign of the Holy Spirit coming into God's people. And we'll read later in Acts chapter 15 just how significant of a moment this is. We'll come back to this and we'll see the implications of the gospel going forth to the Gentiles. But you are very likely a Gentile convert if you are a believer in Jesus. And so this word in Acts 10 is a significant moment for you as well. It is only by God's grace, by him allowing his word to fall on your ears and to stir your heart up with the Holy Spirit, that you would have faith in him. And it is all part of God's plan initially to bring people into his family. The gospel has just now in Acts 10 become salvation, not just for a nation that is a family, the people of Israel, but now the gospel is going forth to produce fruit in a family of nations. So it's not just a nation of families any longer, the Israelites, the Jews. It's now a family of nations, people from all over, whether they're Italian, like this guy, Cornelius, from the Italian cohort, or otherwise. The gospel is for people of all over, and God wants people of all over to become part of his family and to worship him through his son Jesus. We could thank him for that, and we can know that as we interact with people, no matter how different they are, they have opportunity to become part of God's family too through this message about Jesus, that Jesus was killed and raised from the dead for the salvation of all kinds of people. So as you interact with people that are different than you, know that God is intending to bring people just like those people that you're interacting with into his family. May it humble us. May we be refreshed by the reality that we ourselves were maybe weirdos. Maybe we were foreigners to what we would naturally consider goodness or godliness. That was us, really. That was us. We might have been like Cornelius, who did good things and was generally good, but we were missing something crucial. We were missing Jesus Christ, and we were missing the forgiveness of sins that he alone can provide. We were missing his Holy Spirit. So let's go share the good news with people, knowing that God has been gracious to us and that he desires to be gracious to others as well. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us opportunity to be humbled today, to be uplifted and encouraged as we see your kindness to Cornelius, not just to enable him to search after you, Lord, and give alms to the poor and be a good guy generally, Lord, but to actually find salvation. Thank you for the significance of this moment, that you would allow Peter to come to understand this and the other Jews with him from Joppa, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that as we continue to read from Acts, you'll make it even more clear what it means for our lives, that you would bring Gentiles, you would bring people who are outside of the nation of families of Israel into your family of nations, Lord, your family from all different nations, all different peoples. Thank you. Thank you for this great gift that we don't deserve. May we be humbled and uplifted by it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I hope you'll have been refreshed by this look at Acts chapter 10 today. And if you are in Christ, you're not just a friend. You're a brother or a sister. And so I'm thankful for that reality. I pray you'll be thankful for that as well as you interact with others, knowing that if they're in Christ, they're not just a friend. They're a brother or sister. Go enjoy God's people as you enjoy the God who gave us communion with his people. God bless you.